now back there. Wow, we're running down to the tread. I mean, we're running down to the spare tires today. I am the spare tire here. They will get it. Let me, it's very familiar to you. Let me read it. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies in living sacrifice, not in a dead sacrifice. You know, God is not the God of dead. He's God of alive. And everything that has breath needs to praise the Lord. And if God gave you breath, you know, praise his Lord. See, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You ain't got no choice. That is your reasonable service. So when you come to church, you just do the best you can. You know, I don't sing as pretty as the sisters sing, but I belch it out. You know, I sing to the top of my lung until the sisters and everybody in front of me just change seats sometimes. Listen, I ain't came here to look good. And I ain't came here to impress you. I came here to impress him and to whatever you do, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to do what I came here to do. See? Yeah, I didn't come here to sing like a little bird. It's, you know, pretty. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, renewing. It has to be a regen, a renewing process. And that is the Holy Ghost working in our life. He renews our, you know, hearts. He renews everything in ourselves, our minds, our spirit are renewed. But this is not just a one-time deal. It's a process, and it will take time. So we have to be very patient with God and with ourselves as well. Because it's going to take time. Like I said, I'm hitting 70, you know, and I was running at one time with 12 cylinders. Now I'm just about two left now. Yeah. And I said, God, you better hurry up. I don't know how much I can last, you know. But I'm glad that he's my strength. So I'm not depending on how fast I can go or how pretty or whatever. He is the one who has to do the work for me. He started the work, he will finish it. So I'm not, you know, it's not my ability. It's not how smart I am. I'm not smart, or, you know. It is his work. So I have confidence in his work. It says, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we have to come to and be with the saints of God, Lord. Not only them, but your presence is here. Your Holy Spirit is here. Father, there's no other place that I'd rather be but in your presence, Father. Just like Mary did, and she just laid at your feet, Lord. And just tonight we want to do the same thing. Just lay it all at your feet. Sit down and let us listen, Father, what you have to say to our hearts, Father. Father, we need you. Talk to us tonight, Father. We really need you, Father. Because without you, we are nothing. Father, we love you and we appreciate you. Be with those that are not here tonight, those that are out there. Father, in the cold weather, our brother pastor, and I think Andy went back that way. Ask you to protect them, Lord. Keep them, Lord. May nobody get hurt. Father, those that are sick and weary and tired, strengthen them, Lord. Father, heal them so they can be with us and partake, Father, of this, Father, that we so, Father, we so love. We are thirsty and hungry for you tonight. And I'm glad that is your work in us. Father, now we give you all the glory and the honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You can be seated. Unless you want to stand, I don't think so. Sorry about this morning. I had a hard week. I mean, in my body, and tired and sick. I was a scatterbrain everywhere. I'm still a scatterbrain. Now, sometimes, you know, I know. I'm always a scatterbrain, so... Yeah, I know you're not going to buy that one. But anyway, here we are. Thank you for coming, and God will reward you for your efforts and your faithfulness. And we ask for those that are not here to God reward them just as well. You know, God had no respect of people. So we are not going to make any exceptions. We want the same blessing for them that I want tonight. Amen. So tonight, based on these two verses that we read, we want to talk about the journey. And the journey is like a race. And we are not right now, you know, starting the journey. We started a long time ago. Some of us, we started a long time ago. Some of us, we've been in this business for a long time. And some just started. So we are not in the same place. But we all going to get there at the same time. And if we're not going to get there at the same time, if you get there before I do, you still got to wait for me. You still got to wait for the last one. So you cannot even go and claim your prize until the body's ready for that day. But the reason for this journey, you know, like I told you before, the journey is just as important as the reward at the end, as the final reward, because sometimes we don't put too much attention to the journey. And sometimes we think, well, that's all right, if I miss here, miss there. But, you know, the journey is there for a purpose. Because we are not going to wait to the end for, you know, hey, it happens. No, this is what this journey is. The closest we move to the towards our goal, the more and more, you know, we start manifesting that God already purposed in his heart for me. It just don't happen overnight, and it's not going to happen just when the rapture see and pop, you done. If you wait that long, you ain't going to be there. Because it is a process. I mean, it takes time to take a guy like me and break him down. You know, I spent time in the army, and the first thing is, dude, they want to break you down completely. You know, open you, look in there, and take everything out. And then, you know, break you apart, and then put you back together the way they want to. And they succeeded because they've been in this business for a long time. So, but God is more gentle than that, see? But he's doing the same thing. He's giving us a new heart, taking that stony heart. You know, he gave us a different spirit, a different attitude, a spirit that I could get along with myself so I can get along with everybody else. Then he filled me with his Holy Ghost, and then the journey starts. You know, the process starts. He's shaping me. He's forming me. He transformed me. He's make sure that I conform to his plan, to his idea. And that is what this journey is, to shape us and form us, to form our hearts, you know, like the Old Testament said, he gave us a new heart, took the stony heart, and not only shape us and form us, but he transformed our minds, you know. He gave us a new spirit, because that's where the mind is. The intellect is in the spirit. So that has to be changed as well. In fact, that's what you are. What you are in the spirit, that is who you are. So that has to be changed. You know, we cannot come to God. You know, God has to make a new creature out of us. The old Eli cannot make it. I have to be redone completely. And I'm glad that God took me and he broke me. Because you got to be, if you don't humble yourself, he will humble you. See? I'm glad that he took me and broke me down and filled me with his spirit tonight. I think that is the best thing that has happened to me. And it will happen to me. And the last thing he do, he conform. We get to the point that we start conforming to his will, you know, to his word. And that's what I want. I want to conform to his desire. Whatever his desire is, that is what I want in my life. But that is not an easy task. Because we have something that, you know, it's rebellious. And Satan, well, it takes advantage, you know. He wants to stop that process. He will not stop it. I'm sorry. He's wasting his time. Because what God started, he will finish it. Listen, this is bulletproof. It is bulletproof. Don't worry about the mistake you made last year. Leave it in last year. Don't bring that weight to this year. That's forgotten. God don't even remember it. If you already made amends, don't worry about it. that is not going to wear you down unless you have not straightened it out. See, I hope that you and I, we came into this year and let all that weight of whatever it is back there. And come now to a new year lighter. Amen. So we can continue running the race that is set before us. So, to shape us, to transform, to conform to His will. So, Matthew 7:13. I'm going to read because tell you what the race is, what it looks like, the course. And the course, it says over here, enter to the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many will enter through it. Describing the journey, where the journey starts, and where you look in the course. You know, when you do a race, you know what you have to run, where you have to go. And this is our course when we start. He said, but, 7:14, Matthew 7:14, but the small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to what? To life. Oh, and I like this. And only a few will find it. So that means, you know, it is a sad thing for anybody that will try to find something that they will never see. I mean, that is the saddest thing that you can see. Somebody want to enter in, but it's not allowed. Remember that guy that entered into that wedding, and everybody has a garment? When you come into the wedding, they change, they clean them up, and everybody looks the same. There's no big, there's no small, there's no rich, there's no poor. You don't even know who you're dealing with. It could be the mayor of the town, and this could be the bum of the town. But not you, you know, the bum of the town. But it doesn't matter. Because once you dress him up like a king, nobody knows who is who. So that is what it is. Here, there's no big or small eye. This is all. We all in the same. With God, we all the same. And God had no respect a person. He don't treat you better than me because you're good or, you know. So somebody went in, but he didn't have a cover. If you don't have the word of God, you're naked. That's at the end. It says the Lord, unless you're naked. Because the only thing that covers our nakedness is the word. So he's there. He didn't have the word. He wasn't covered. So he said, hey, friend, I'm glad he didn't call him anything. See, God is respectful. Even to a thief in the cross. He, just because he was a thief. And one of them was not a nice one, but God was always nice. He respected everybody. It doesn't matter if he was bad, good, ugly. And that's what you and I have to do. We have that nature. We should not have no respect for. There's no cliques in this church. You know? And I like to check your hand, and I should be able to, with the same passion that I check yours, I need to check everybody else. If you don't do that, then you have respect of person. You have cliques. No? Never do that. You know? Never leave church and go out there and only talk to certain people. Respect everybody. In the same way you respect those, you have to respect everybody. You cannot love some and not love some other ones. You know, they do that outside in the world. Be respectful. So, in this race, we see that there's two courses in this race. But one is white. And one is really broad, you know, and the other one is narrow, a small gate. So what is talking about, the symbolism that we're looking in here is that in the wide and broad one, you know, it's all encompassing. You know, everybody come in. We all going to make it. Hey, we got room for everybody. Yeah, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you believe. Hey, we just looking for one, you know, result. We all love God. Yeah. Okay, come on. We got room. I don't know what you believe. And you can believe in Buddha and you can believe in this and that. Don't worry. We're all looking for the same thing. So, hey, we got room. It's so wide, you know. And sometimes you got people in these places that are proud because, you know, being proud is having not having self-control. You know. Or having control, but not for the right things, the right control. When you are proud, you're saying, you know, my life matters. You know, and you better, you know, notice that. And I got rights. You know, we don't have any rights. We forfeit all our rights so him can take care of us. So we don't even have an iota to say anything. Because he's the one taking care of us. We don't tell God what to do. You know, and I don't want to tell God what to do. Because I know he's perfect. He knows exactly what I have need of. I don't even know what I have need of. But he knows. So I will forfeit all my rights just so I can let him lead me and guide me and protect me and control me. It's what I want. Amen. So sometimes people are proud. You know, well, I'm Baptist or I'm Catholic. You know, so what? You know? And if you don't believe like I believe, you are going to be lost. And if you don't have my revelation, you know, they get proud about it. You know? Man, who die and push in charge, you know? And that is a proud spirit. But it is, and it's still out there, you know. This white road, you know, everybody's invited. You know? You don't care what you believe. You like to paint yourself. You like to smoke. You like to drink socially. It doesn't matter. You love God. Oh, we got room. Come on. Anyway, you love God, that's all it matters. The way you live doesn't matter. And anyway, don't let those guys, you know, those funny guys out there tell you that, you know, whatever you look has anything to do with worshiping God. Whatever it counts is what is in your heart. I know. Come on. Join us. We got room for you. You don't have to put up with a bunch of knuckleheads down the street, you know. You know, look, they cannot even have fun. They look like an antique. They look like, you know, they dress like, you know, that. And, you know, they look like they came from one of those Quaker pictures out there with a hat. And, you know, so they don't know what they're doing. And anyway, you know, don't believe them. What do they know? See? Because we are people. They think we are crazy. And I am crazy. Just leave me that way. I'm happy. I wasn't happy when I thought I was in my own right mind. Now I lost it. And I'm happier than I haven't been in my life. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. So this is this wide and broad road. You know, people are conceited. You know, they want to be accepted. You know, but look at what I'm doing. Look at how much I'm giving. I want someone to accept or approve what I do, you know. I want to be noticed, you know. I want some recognition around here. Man, I can't get no respect here. What you deserve is death is all you know. You don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. So what we're getting is more than enough anyway. Because we're not getting what we deserve to get. But the white road is like that, you know. It's kind of loose. You know, it's wide because the boundaries, you know, the boundaries are so stretched out, you know, that you can push even the boundaries when you come and, you know, they haven't heard your story. Oh, yeah, we can make some room. We just moved the wall, you know, make some room for you. That means that between there and there, we have room for all kind of opinions, all kind of thoughts. You know, from here to there, you know, it's kind of, you know, grayish, you know. But don't worry about it because, anyway. Who knows anything? Who knows to claim to have everything? Anyway, you know what? That's how they believe. That's how they think. But don't worry about it. We got room here. Whatever you believe, we got room for you. And we have so much room that don't worry. You know, we'll never get too far that way and too far that way because there's no limit sometimes. See, in the narrow road, he said it's small and it's not as... As it's narrow and small. So you can hardly stand and you can hardly have elbow room to move. Why? Because the word of God will limit you. The word of God will not let you get away with your thoughts, with your ideas, with your feelings, with anything. The limit is the word of God. See? And it is just enough room to keep you honest. You cannot go to the left. He told Joshua, neither right, to the left, and don't let the word of God fall. There's no room to left and there's no room right. The only room here is forward and within the boundaries. So no wonder we do what we do. We ain't got too much room to play here. Either it's the word of God or it is not. And if it is, this is my boundary. But well, come on, you know, you love God. We can have a little social drink or put some shorts, you know. And what did you have to, you know, anyway? You know, no. My boundary is this, and I cannot move away or beyond that boundary. And I can't even push that boundary. Try to push it. Try to find an excuse to justify something that is a little bit further from, you know, like Brother Brown says, this car is going through, it's going to the hill, to the mountains, and it's a narrow road that winds around. And some people like to drive close to the mountain. And some people like to ride by the edge. You know, they like to live in the edge. Let me see how much I can get away with without falling. You're still okay as long as you don't, you know, go beyond the limits. In this message, is very narrow and so small that sometimes you have to get down on your knees. God will humble you. You know, in the other place, you know, it's room just to get up and get, you know, as proud as you want to be. You know, you want to be noticed, whatever, you know, whatever excuse we're doing things, but not in this gospel. In this gospel, they're so narrow and so small that sometimes you got to get down and crawl in your knees. Sometimes God will humble us that way. See, maybe we want to get up, but God says no. The way up is down. So get through that small, narrow hole and make it to the end. See? And that's what limits us. There's a limit on the top, on the side, and everywhere. So that's what is so narrow. So there are limits, you know. In the other one, is a wide range of ideas. You know, they have pushed God's word to the limits as far as that they can, even to bring women's in the pulpit to do, you know, homosexual, the whole work. I mean, you got to push that all the way out to. Right. But it's all man's idea. It's, you know, we know all that. That's why you can stretch it out. God don't allow those things. It wasn't so from the beginning. So this journey, it is not a contest. It is not something that we are trying to win a medal for being goody, you know, doing this right. No, sometimes the best thing is to just do things his way. So there is a lot of room for everybody's ideas, thoughts, and opinions. And the boundaries are so loose that it can accommodate just about any kind of opinion. See, here is so tight. We don't want to have your ideas. I don't care about what you think about it. I don't want your opinion, and you don't want mine. The only thing we want here is his word. That's tight. That is tight. But there's a promise, right? I don't want to live too loose. Not that way. I want to live in the small and narrow way. See? I like to humble myself. I like God to humble me. Walk meekly, submissive, you know. You cannot get that out there. Women say you want to have control and you want to have your way. There's a place for that. Not you guys. They're talking, the women that like, we're talking about this morning, see. Well, there's enough room there to be preachers, to do whatever they want. See, but here, it's not me. It is God. God has a position and a place for each one of us. And happy is those that can find that place and your position. Because when you find it, you are happy. See? But some people are scared because they think, this is a controlling thing. You know? Well, then find your place that you can control God. See how that works. So, small and narrow way is what I want. I don't want the limits of the world. I want the limits of the word. Is what I want. See, I know there's a lot of struggle. You know, this is not a picnic that we join. There's going to be a lot of situations, in our life, circumstances. Satan is going to come just and let you walk your walk without having any resistance. He's there for a purpose. He's fulfilling God's purpose. And he's bringing all these things to make sure you stay where? With the word. And you don't go left or to right. But just believe him. Because he's trying to make you to conform to his word. And when Satan comes in, he's a tool in God's hands to test you and to bring out that he already put on you. You don't know what it is, but he knows what he has put on you. But this road is not a picnic. It's a struggle. And only those that are the few ones. I like that because, you know, the army has that. The Marine. We want the few and the brave or something. Something like that. I was in the Marine. I was in the few and the brave. I went to the, when I was 20 years old, 19, I went to the army because I wanted to. Yeah, I wanted to. I had a 1A classification. They were going to take me, so I had to go. I was in the days where they used to, you know, take you. But there wasn't no volunteer army. So I went to the army and I said, well, what are you going to do for me if I join? He said, oh, don't worry about it. You know, you can travel and you can see the world. And, oh, sounds good. Let me check with the other guys. I went to the Marines, to the Navy, and that's where the Marines base are there. And I said, hey, I want to join. What do you want to do for me? What can you do for me? Oh, don't worry about it. You see that guy out there with that little stick picking up papers? I said, yeah, you might never make it to be in the ship out there and be anything. You might be that guy. I said, well, at least he told me the truth. He said, it's so depend on your ability and your intelligence. I said, well, forget it. I'll be cleaning latrines the rest of my tour. I will probably never see the ocean. He said, well, he told me the truth. So it just depend in your ability, your skills. I said, okay, well, let me go to the other one, to the Navy, because, you know, to the Air Force. And I talked to them, and they said, oh, you know, it just all depends. You know, here everything is, it depends on your mentality and how much you can absorb, how much you can learn, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, the Marines told me, you know what? This is what we do for you. We give you an M16 and we send you to war. At least I was truthful. I said, you know what? You guys are lying to me. So I went back to the guy that was lying to me anyway. He said, I will see the world, our world, I will travel. And I joined the army. And you know what they did? They gave me a gun and they sent me to Vietnam. You wanted to see the world, right? We didn't tell you what condition or how and where. But you know, sometimes we don't know what is best for us. We have to let God, you know, make that decision for us. There's struggles, you know, but God is in control. I'm glad because this journey that we are on is by invitation only. Not everybody gets invited. I'm so glad that I got an invitation. I'm so glad that my name was in the invitation. I'm glad that, you know, when I heard my name, they said, hey, you can come to the supper of the Lamb. You are invited to a wedding. I am? Sure. In fact, you can be part of the wedding that you want to. So it's by invitation. And it's only those that are predestined to start this journey. And the length of this journey, the length is of this course is a life commitment. See, once you get in, you don't want to get out. Once you sign in, sorry, you're a lifer for life. And I don't want to know the way. I don't want to know the way. And that's why some people sometimes they're afraid because, you know, they go from church to church because what? They cannot make a commitment. That is the way of our world today. People live together because they don't want to make a commitment. They are afraid to make a commitment. You know, a commitment to another, to the mate, that I will be with you the rest of my life. I don't care what happened. I promise you, in sickness, in death, in health, I'll be here. You know, one thing I can assure you, you know, I will love you forever. Oh, you know, forever. They start thinking, I don't know, is that possible? Well, it is possible. if you have God in you, you have the Holy Ghost. Maybe it's not possible for me physically, but I'm glad that for him, all things are possible. So I'm not afraid of a commitment. You know, I told Brother Doug when I came to 10 years ago, when I came, and I knew him before, 10 years before that, I know him for about 20 years now, 20 some years, about 30 years now. 10 years have gone so fast. I've been here 10 years. Man. So I told him when I came to church, I said, I'm a star. I want to make this my church. And one thing, I want you to know that you're going to bury me. See, I don't go to churches with an idea that if things go wrong, I'm out. I didn't marry my wife and I said, when things go wrong, I'm out. No. When I went there, my attitude was, you're going to be my pastor and I will die here and you bury me. See? I don't come here to see if I like it or not. Because I'm following the direction and instruction of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I trust God and I trust His Spirit. And when He brought me to the church, I don't have to question, what do you think? Or what do you think? Or ask, let me do a research. You know, how is Lord divine, brother? He has been treating you good or bad or ugly or indifferent? How is a pastor? I don't have to do a survey. Because I already got direction from the one above. And when He brought me here, it's because He wants me here. I don't care if you don't like me. I want to be here. And you're going to have to put up with me. Now, I always said never, that I will never leave this place. I said the same thing in the other place. But at least it's one thing for sure, that I will commit that this is the place until they do me a part. But then I kept talking to Brother Doug the other day. We were having a meeting. Andy, we have a meeting. And I find out that Brother Doug is almost hitting 60 now, right? He's getting there. So, and then we started talking about, you know, body conditions and things that are happening to him and to me. And I realized that he's in more trouble with his body than mine with mine. Actually, I'm more healthy at 69 than he is at 60. So I told him, you know what? You know that stuff I told you that you're going to bury me? I think it's also going to be the other way around. And then Andy stepped in to save the day. Andy said, nobody's dying here. We're going up. And we agreed to that. Yeah. Ain't nobody dying in here. Well, it is fun. The price. We're going to talk about the price. 1 Corinthians 9:24. There's a price to be given in this race. It says, do you know that they which run in the race run all, but not all receive the prize? Well, Paul is trying to tell us what the Greek used to do and the games, you know, the Olympics. Only one person can win in whatever category. You know, well, that's kind of discouraging because, you know, only one person will win, you know, I'm sure I'm going to be left behind according to their rules. But then Paul says, but so run, okay, maybe you're not going to win, but run that you what? May obtain. You know, have a winning attitude. If you tell me you're going to lose and you can't. Because most of the time, more than maybe 50% is all what? It's all mine. You know, you can do your body and you can build it up and you can take all these nutrients, all these protein drinks and all this green stuff and mix it all together and, you know, and steroid or whatever you want, you know, and get. But that's not guarantee you that you're going to win. Because that is just 50% of the race. The other 50% of the race is here. Amen. And we're going to see a little bit more about this. So I'm glad that he put it here. Okay, but just at least run with the same attitude that the guy that is going to win is going to run. Just put everything on it. Push yourself all the way up beyond your limits, just like he's going to do. You're not going to win, but have the same attitude he has. And that's a winning attitude, even if you lose. You cannot lose with that kind of attitude. And we come to church with the right attitude, mental attitude, you know, towards the word of God. And God will repay you for that. Amen. See, we need to come with an attitude, a winning attitude. Not a, well, I don't know, I'm Mr. Nobody, and I don't have any gift. And you know, I wish I'd be like the preacher. That preacher can preach, can sing, can play. And I can do nothing. I don't sing, I don't play, and I hardly can preach. It doesn't matter. You know, when I step here with the same attitude he stepped here. The same confidence he stepped here. You know, I'm not going to cut myself down because then I know I can't. It says, there's rules of engagement. So the prize, before I get to the rules of engagement, the prize is a crown of life. See, that is, in this race, you know what you get? Life and life eternal forever. Amen. Before, I was going to get death. But now, when we finish this race, we're going to get a crown of life. That is going to be our reward. The rule of engagement in this journey. Again, like I told you before, Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of person with God. And when you are in a race, in a church, brothers and sisters, you should treat everybody the same. You cannot love one and not love other one. Pagans do the same thing. So our attitude, our rule is, regardless what's going on, we treat everybody with the same respect. Same respect that you want sometimes. But even if they don't respect you, you still got to treat them with respect. You know, I heard that Brother Branham, every time he went to the churches, they loved everybody. Everybody wanted to be around Brother Branham. Why? But he treated that person like he was even better than himself. I mean, he never treated him less. He always, you know, felt like, wow, you know. I thought he was going to, you know, kind of look me down. But no, I'm so high that I had to look down at him. And that is what we had to do. Never, never look down at people. Okay? There's no room for that in church. In fact, we're all equals. And that is the rule of engagement. You start this race, respect everybody. It doesn't matter if he's slow or he's fast, or if he's tall, or if he's short, or ugly, or fat. It doesn't matter. Have the same respect that you have for everybody else. God will not treat men according to their color, or country, or outward condition, but according to their character and their conduct. Now, the next things that happen in the race is discipline. You have to have discipline. And Luke 10:27 says, and he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And who is my neighbor? That's your neighbor, Henry. That's your neighbor. And you better treat him and love him, you know, even better than you love yourself sometimes. The thing is, love fulfill the law. You know, Jesus did not do away with the law. He said, I not came here to destroy. I came here to what? To fulfill. And what fulfills the law? Love. So the only discipline you want laws is love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Corinthians 13, you know, that's love. If you love somebody, you will not harm somebody or wish anything bad somebody, right? If you love somebody, you will not steal from somebody. If you love somebody, you will not say false or raise, you know, things against the person. If you love somebody, you prefer that person before you. That's what love fulfills, the law. So we don't have to have a lot of laws and rule books. All you have to know is love everyone the way you love yourself. Treat other ones that way too. It doesn't matter. Respect them. Love them. Jesus did love everyone. He never the only time he got angry, and that's all right. You can get angry, but don't sin. See? It's because they made that tabernacle, you know, a den of thief. And he got the whip, and here we go. But he said he never sinned. See? Don't let the sun set on you. What? If you do something before you go to sleep, make it right. Because you don't know what's going to happen to that person. He might die that night, and there you are. Oh, pobrecito, poor guy. I wanted to tell him how much. Well, it's too late. Make things right. Don't let your anger, the sun set on that anger. Because then, you say, well, when I come down, I will make things right. How do you know that you're going to live that long, or somebody's going to live that long? And if you die with us, you know, whatever you bind, you bind. Whatever you lose, you lose. And if you don't lose your brother, he's going to have to pay for that. If he did it intentionally, knowingly or not knowingly, and you don't forgive him, you tie him to that sin. And then if he dies and you don't make things right and he dies, who's going to pay for that one? Because you never make things right. It is a thing of life and death. Sometimes we come to church and we think things are peachy, and they are good. But listen, my friend, if we're walking in love, it should be nothing in between us and anybody else. Between us and God, everything, the slate should be clean. When I go to sleep tonight, if you did something, call. Sorry, this morning, William and Jose is there, and I thanked everybody for their work, and I forgot the translators. Well, that's me. I did that job, and still for years and years. And it's not an easy thing, let me tell you. They paid the price. So thank you. And Jose too. You know, that's a label of love. You know, these people don't get paid for that. And they don't care. That's the thing. They don't care if they get paid or not. All they want is to do a service to someone else. Amen. So, the rule here is that we don't have a rule book. Only thing we had to know is one word. I know, how hard is that, John? I mean, I'm kind of tonto, you know, kind of. I don't want to use that other word, S word, but I can't remember that. It's just one word, to love one another. I mean, how hard is that? Would you let God do that through you? Anyway, discipline. So, that is the only thing we need to do. All discipline is all based on love is the medium that we move and we do things. See, we don't have to have a rule of ethics and what we do in this situation and what we do in this situation. If you love the person, you will do the right things. Training. 1 Titus 4:8. It says, for body exercise, I like this, profit a little. Listen, I don't care how strong you get. I don't care how much you huff and puff and sweat, you know. It's not going to profit you much. I like this one. See? But godliness. Oh, you know what? We preached about godliness. It's what? It's profitable. So it's not so much how you look like Mr. Atlas. But that was in my days. Now I don't know who is. Schwarzenegger, whatever his name is. I don't know. Can you pronounce that? Maybe somebody like that, you know. See? But it is not that. Godliness is a character. You know? Like God. Having the same nature. So it's more important who you are than what you look like. See, looks. God don't go by looks. He look what is in your heart and in your heart. He knows what is in your heart. So you can do a lot of exercise, and this actually pertain to the church. You know that some people like to run and jump, and it's okay. And some people like to holler, and that's okay. I'm not condemning anything. I do it myself. But the thing is, you know, that's exercise. You're exercising yourself in the spirit, but it don't profit you too much because we're going to see when you come down, you know, and your feet hit the ground, what we're going to look is how your life is going to be after that. Because all that, you know, is good, but it don't profit much to your life. Oh, I felt good. I felt God. Nice. I like to feel that way. But that is not how you can rate me, how good or bad I am, how high I jump. Oh, my, you almost hit the ceiling. Well, it is what is in my heart. And my heart will actually, it will come out. Amen. By the fruits, you what? You shall know them. Amen. So it's not by the exercise. Anyway, it says training. So don't worry so much about sweating and puffing and you know, trying to drink all those protein drinks. And, you know, just worry about one thing. Have the nature of God in your life. Act like God. Be like God. You know, that is all he wants. And then that's profitable to things. Having a promise, if the life now is, and if that which is to come. So, not only here, all the way from earth, all the way to heaven. That's the journey. So, God is looking for godliness. It's part of the building pyramid. That's one of the elements. And actually, that's the element I told you before. It's closer. The next one is what? Brotherly love. You know, you cannot love your brother until you start acting like God. Not so much acting, but you start being like God, having the same nature. Because you cannot do it no other way. Because it's not you that is doing it. It is him that is doing it in you. You know, God wants to reflect himself. You know, the moon has no properties whatsoever. The moon has no light. In fact, one side is dark. Look like us. One side is dark, but the other side has light. See, we have to drag this guy. So the moon, well, the only thing the moon do is when the sun comes up, it will reflect the what? The sun, the S-O-N. And that's the same thing with you. You can reflect God, manifest God in your life, but you cannot do it on yourself. God has to manifest himself through you. You got to get out of the way. I got to get out of the way and let him have his way in our life. That's the only way it can happen. That's godliness. Doing exercise and running, okay, that's good, beautiful. But how much of God you have in you, we know how much is manifesting in your life. Then we know how much is there of you or how little is there of you. But that is the journey. That's what I'm looking. That's my desire. Less of me and more him. And you're going to know when it's happening because now, you know, you see me. Wow. It's different. Wow. Something happens. Your friends start looking at you. Wow. And you can then witness and tell them, hey, that's not me. It's impossible. But see, God can do the impossible in me. So, let me talk about reflecting a little bit. This morning I didn't tell you this, but the only way that God can reflect back, there has to be something there to reflect from. Brother Doc told you about, you can take a pipe and paint it black inside and put a hole in the middle and shine a light. You will not see the light because darkness will absorb it. It will not reflect it, I mean. The light, so you cannot see the light passing through the tube because it's all black inside. See? And that is the same thing with God and his word. That word cannot reflect back from you unless there's something in there to be reflected. So, either it's light or it's darkness. And how much is the darkness? See? But if you are called from God and you came from God, you came with a purpose, and that is to live the same life that Christ lived, continuing, reflecting to the world the light of this gospel. But that's not of yourself. In fact, you need to get out of the way. I need to get out of the way. God don't need your help. God don't need my help. In fact, God wants you to just get out of the way and surrender to me. I take care of the rest. That's all he wants. And that's the training. The training is all God trying to reflect his life. You know, we through a training, through all this journey, that is the training. Taking you out of yourself, throwing yourself out, so he can fill you with his word, so you can manifest and reflect his light, so all that can see. People are lost in the darkness, you know, trying to fill the way in this world, but you are a shining light. You can help them find the way, the same way you found the way. But you have to have God having preeminence, ruling in your life. And let the gospel shine, you know, through our lives. God, and that's what God wants to. You know, God is a gentleman. He's not going to push you. He's not going to push me. But God, the only thing God wants is companionship. I told you, all he wants is you. But he will not force you. You and I have to forfeit our rights and give him the right to God, the creator of heaven, so powerful. And he's waiting for me to tell him, yes, you can, or yes, you can. I mean, tell God. I mean, he asked Cain, you know, if you do what your brother do, I accept you, you know. I accept you. He gave him a chance. He respected Cain, even though we know what Cain was, but he had respect to that man. He says, I will accept you. I find a place for you. But you need to do imitate your brother. Maybe you don't have a revelation of what he's doing, but just do it. And I will bless you too. I have a place for you. And we know the answer to that one. Well, he didn't want that life, because there wasn't nothing in him to receive a light, to reflect a light. We know that. You know, darkness cannot reflect light. So that is what godliness is all about, walking, and that's what we are profitable unto him and all things. So 1 Corinthians 9:24, the mindset of this journey, it says, so run that you may obtain what? He said that this is part of the first one that I read before. You know, you're not going to get the prize, but just run. You know, your mindset will be, I enter this race, I'm going to do everything that I can and possible. You know, I'm going to set my mind, I'm going to have the right attitude. Listen, if we come to church, excuse me, and maybe you don't feel like you're going to get blessed or whatever, I don't know why, for whatever reason, then do something so somebody else get blessed. That is the mindset. Go on and help your brother and your sister. Create an atmosphere that if you cannot get blessed, let somebody else get blessed. And that's where happiness and love is. You know, giving out of yourself so somebody else can have what maybe you can have. But the Lord will bless you on that. I don't think it's going to be that dry. Like, you know, the Lord is not going to notice. God reward everything we do. He gives a tap. And he will reward you for that. So, Corinthians said, run the race with that kind of a mental attitude. You know, races and all this, like I said, is all a mindset as well. It's not only all physical. But your mind can make you or can break you. So, now, Ecclesiastes 9:11, it says, we're not going to notice something here. Because it says, I return and saw under the sun, this is Solomon, that the race is not to the swift. I don't care how fast you are. I don't care. It says, the battle is not to the strong. So that's what I tell you. It doesn't matter what it looks. It might look good. You know, in our eyes, you know, Saul, he was a big guy over all the everybody else's shoulder. He can be our leader. He looks like a leader. He walks like a leader. He's strong. We want him as a leader, but God didn't want that. God wanted a little sissified guy with little curls that the world would reject. But that's what God looks at. Because God is not looking at the strong. God is not looking at the swift. God is not looking, neither yet bred to the wise. Not yet the richest to man. Understanding, intelligence, you know, riches. You know, sometimes we like to do more favors to the, you know, like James said, don't do that. Respect everybody the same. Don't treat the rich guy that comes in better than the little poor guy. you sit him in the front just like you sit the rich one. Brother Branham said the overall and the three-piece suit, they should come together and embrace themselves because there's no difference. He said, the riches and the men of understanding not yet favor to men of skills. Forget about skill, out of the window too. But time and chance happen. Life will happen to you. Life will happen to all of us. What he's saying is that time and opportunities, see, happens to all. But just because you have the right time and the right season, that don't mean that you are going to seek, you know, let's say for, people say, you know, seek your opportunities. Let me give you an example. You understand me? Okay, it is the right time to sell a house. The market is good. And I was last year. Forget about today. Everything is good. The time is right. The season is right. I'm going to do it. But what happened? Boy, there's no guarantee. See, what can you bring to the table that is going to work anyway? Because you don't have control of time. You don't have control of seasons. You have no control of anything. So just because this look good and that look good and you think it's going to work, you know, God is the one that controls the time and the seasons. But because the guy is smart and is strong, you know, that don't guarantee that he's going to win the race. What happens is if you're running down and he's winning, I mean, he's about 10 horses in front of it, and then somebody threw, maybe somebody was watching the race and he was eating maybe something and threw the seed in there, and here comes the guy and what? And that's the end of the race. You know, something happens that you cannot commence. I mean, you cannot even start imagining. Life is so complex. I don't care if it's today, it's the time and it's the season. You don't know what's going to happen when you walk out of here. You had no idea, and I have no idea what time and season and this life is going to reserve for me. So I should not never, ever trust those kind of signs. Sometimes we come to church and we want to run church that way. But this is the time and this is the season. You know, it is his time and it is his season. And when that happens, you will know it. But it's not man time and season. Man had to like to run the church that way. That's what they, oh, but look at how big. And look at how many members, and look at that big church. And you know what? That is not going to guarantee any success. Not with God. See? Now, the next one is saying, I like this other one. So, listen, you're running a race. Don't worry who is next to you. Bigger, smaller, faster, you know, skillful. It doesn't matter. Because God is the one going to decide who wins. Listen, my friend, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's all by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I don't care who has the power, and I don't care who looks good, and who don't care who is the most big one and more fit for the job. That is not going to guarantee nothing. Because it's by the Holy Ghost that we are led. God leads us that way. That's why sometimes, you know, that we like, you know, the eye like to look at something that looks better than this, and we want to make decisions on the conditions. You know, a guy that is doing the weather in radio or TV or whatever in the internet, they like to prognosticate, you know, but that don't mean it's going to happen. And he never tell you for sure 100% it's going to rain tomorrow. No, he said, there's 30% chance that it might rain. Why? Because he knows. He knows. He has gone through enough experiences that he cannot say, this is the time and this is the season and this is going to happen. Well, okay. You know, it's a lot of people in YouTube that are preaching and they prophesy. Oh, man, this prophesying, going back and forward, and prophets. But none of them said, that said the Lord. I know just one man that had that said the Lord. And when he said that said the Lord, he never failed. When you get to that point, or I get to that point, that when you speak, you can say that said the Lord. But remember, if it don't happen, that's the end of it. Because God is testing. Israel. He said, if a prophet tells you something in my name and don't happen, that's it. One time, not two, not three, three out of two. No. One time, if you prophesy and don't say happen, you're out of the game. So, no wonder they said, I pronosticate. Now, Brother Branham used that before. When he gave, in 1977, he says, I do not prophesy, but I will, as a student of the Bible, I will predict. Why? Because that wasn't God. That was the man. Some people like to take and turn that around. But yeah, he prophesied, and you guys are wrong. No. Oh, because somebody edited the thing and changed it. You know, they want to make all kind of things. Ecclesiastes 9:12. For man also knoweth not his time, the time that you're going to die, that I'm going to die. God only knows that. Say, as the fishes that are taken in evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men a snare and evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Okay. When it falls suddenly upon them. So, you know, it doesn't matter. You don't know when it's going to happen. Just like a fish, just like a bird. You don't know when something is going to come down on anybody. God knows that. He's the only know, the one that knows. Philippians 3:14, he says, I press toward the mark. That is what we need to do, what we need to look. Forget about looks, forget about how big I am, how skillful, how fast. You don't have no guarantees. In this life, there's no guarantee. The only guarantee it is press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Stay focused. You know, of course, in a race, you're going to have people passing you. Don't worry about it, because it's not who gets there first. If you get there first, you still got to wait for me. The rapture cannot happen until I'm there with you. Until all come to that purpose that we are shining like we become him, and nothing's going to happen. And the Bible said when the last ones reach the goal, then we can all go. So, yeah, in this race, in this journey, some are here, some are here, some are here. But don't worry about it. Because at some point, we're all going to reach this goal. And if you reach the goal, then just wait. Because you're going to have to wait for the last one. But that's all right. The Bible said it will be a quick work. So maybe it took you 40 years to get there, or to, you know, God to do something. It might take this guy that is only 20 years old, just coming in, he's the one of the last ones, and suddenly he passed you. Oh my goodness, I've been in this mess for 40 years. How did you get this far? God is, when the time comes, don't worry about it. Somebody get caught up to you. You know, because we are going to be there at that end when that time comes. Nobody is going to be left behind. Nobody. Because God will see that we all make it. He says, press towards that mark. That's all you have to focus on. Forget about the circumstances. Forget about the situation. Forget about when the devil comes and tell you this and tell you that. You know what? Don't even think about it. Don't, you know, talk to the hand. You just keep running. Keep your eye on that goal. That is Christ Jesus. You know, continue the journey. Because you know why? What Satan wants to do is knock you out of the race. He knows he cannot stop you. You are going to make it, but at least let me delay this thing a little longer, because he knows the time is short. So I might break your leg and you sitting there and waiting until the medics come. Don't worry about it. You got sick. You know, you got something. You got in a situation. But don't worry about it. The plan of God is not delay. You know, God is going to do his thing at the right time, in the right season. Nobody's going to stop his plan. So if you fall, you know, because Satan put a snare, you know, put an obstacle. Don't worry about it. But the Bible says when you get to the mountain, you cannot go up or around or underneath, you know, make a hole. He said, you stand there. Just stand there and you wait on the Lord. See? That he can make a way for you. when you're in this journey and you got to the point that it looks like it's, you're not making much headway, you know, situations in life and everything, sometimes you look, wow, I'm not getting anything. I'm not even advancing at all. I'm thinking that I'm going back. No, you're not going back. You know what? You stand on the ground. Stand on the ground and claim the mountain. If you said to the mountain and you wait, and God will make a way for you. The race, you know, this belongs to God. All belong to God. Don't frustrate yourself. Don't worry yourself. Don't get sick worrying about things. God will make a way. Amen. This year, God will make a way. Amen. Just keep pushing forward. Just keep. That's the attitude. Pushing forward. And when you can push no more, you just stand there. Don't give up the ground that you already gained. Don't do that. Don't retreat. We don't retreat here. As soon as you turn to retreat, somebody's going to shoot you in the back. You know, you have your nice thing dressed up with your, what did you call it, the breastplate. But there's nothing in the back of the breastplate. You turn around to retreat and you're done. Stand there. You know, like Brother Brown said, when Satan comes like a flood, you stand. You don't just, retreat. No, we don't retreat. We don't retreat. Because we know who we have believed. And he's able to do all these things for us. We're not trusting in our strength and our spirit and on our abilities. We're trusting in God and in his word. Well, I'm going to read, it's not even 8 o'clock. Anyway, but I'm going to let you go early. How kind you are, man. Okay, you can stand. I'm going to read a couple of quotes, and they're not even long, and I'm not going to comment on it, but just going to read. Let me see if I forgot papers or something. No. Guess I'm done. Okay, 63. Well, Philippians 1:6 first. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun the good work, he will finish it. Listen, that is where you put your trust. You don't put your trust in the church, as good as it is. You don't put your trust in a man. You put your trust in God. Amen. I remember in a minute. Anyway, so he would perform until that day. You know, he was the one that called me. He was the one that predestined me, called me. And he's going to see that I will make it through. You know, it's not my effort. I had no effort, no merits. All I got is a word from my father. He said, amen, you will make it. You know what the problem with us? Just one little problem. Because God, there's not a problem with his word. It's us believing his word. That's all. You know, don't blame God if things are not happening. It's not God's fault. All you have to do is only believe. That's too hard. It seems like it must be for a lot of people. Not for us, but only believe. Amen. Being confident of this very thing, that he will begin the work in me. He's going to transform me. He's going to shape me. He's going to make me, you know, what's the word I'm missing? Shape me, form me, transform me, and conform to his will. He will do that. I just need to surrender tonight and say, God, whatever, like Mary, whatever you want for me, whatever you had, do it. Amen. Brother Brown says, remember in the Lord, it says, who walks the right life with God? Who walks the right life with God? Who takes the straight, narrow way, but what knows what to be misunderstood means. It's a question, I guess. I should have read it like a question. But you're reading it. That's why God is there. Because I made my mistakes, but you cannot make mistakes. And if you do, it's you then. I am misunderstood. See, we are misunderstood. It's every person, all your brothers that try to live right, and you sisters, you are misunderstood. Brother Man said, we are a bunch of odd people. Right. He says, your neighbor think you some old model. And they try to throw off on you. Why don't you attend this society? And why don't you have this car party? Why don't you this? You know, why don't you go swimming? Why you guys don't have mixed swimming? Why you don't have a Christmas tree? From some people. Nothing about against Christmas tree. You show those things. You are misunderstood. But I'm glad that the word don't understand me. I'm glad that he understand me. You know, I want to be approved, not by the world. I want his approval. What the world wants, they can have. I just want one thing. Like this morning, Jesus only wanted fellowship and companionship. I just want that. I just desire his companionship. You know, and if I had to give everything, if I had to surrender all this stuff, little price to pay for a lifetime with him. He says, trying to do God a service without his swing. Now, Brother Brian said, because thou hast chosen. Remember the prophecy that went forward and in French were translated three people? He said, because thou hast chosen the straight and narrow way, God don't force you. But if you are predestined from God, you will choose the right way. I'm glad of that. But God will not force you to take the narrow way. But if you love God and you love his word, you will choose. Yes. So when those people like to choose the wide one, nobody forced them. In them, there's nothing to choose. Well, you and I have been privileged in this day to choose. I mean, I tell you what, if those people out there know what you got, you probably will be replaced in a minute. See, because sometimes we take everything for granted. Those people out there, if they knew about this message and what you believe, you know, they'd be filling all this church, but just a few chosen. It says, because thou hast chosen the straight and narrow way, the hard is the hardest way. I told you this is not a picnic. But I'm glad because, you know, I don't care how hard it is, you know, I'm going to make it. Amen. I don't care how hard it gets, brother. If I had to crawl that way, I'm not going to crawl. I'm going to walk in those heavenly gates. I'm not crawling. God did not save me here so I can crawl and try to be saved in the last minute, grab somebody healed. I mean, that's not the way I'm going. Why? Because God is going to make sure that I make it. So he says, harder way. You have done it at your own what? Choosing. Nobody forced them. Nobody made them. We all got a choice. But if you love God, you will make the right choice. But what glorious decision you made. Because in my way, you know, capitals, his way. He says, see, I went ahead and said, then, this in itself is that which will bring to pass and make and bring and it shall pass the tremendous victory in what? You have a name that you have to live up to. Tremendous victory. Because without love divine, we're not going to make it. I told you, we don't need a bunch of rules. We don't need ethics. We don't need somebody telling me how to live and what to do and what not to do. All we need is love divine. Because if I have love divine, I fulfill the law. It says, so Brother Branham said, closing, he says, names matters. Your name tells you who you are. Now, this family, we have a name. It's called Love Divine. You better live up to that name. You don't have to try. Just give it all to God. And you will have that victory in Love Divine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again. Father, I don't care what happened this week. I don't care how tired I got. I don't care how mentally I got drained. I don't care how physically I got drained. I don't care if Brother Goodman could not be here. You know, time and seasons is of you. We can plan, we can try, but you are the one that dispose these things. We can only propose things, but you are the one that decide. As much as we do it, in the best way and in with the nicest reasons and motives, we are still God. It is your time and it is your seasons. Now, myself, if I had to choose somebody, I would not choose myself today. I would choose somebody else. But that's not my time and that's not my choosing. But I'm glad that you chose me, Father. This morning. So I yield myself to you, Father. I seek your mind the whole week. I did mechanically everything that was possible for me to do. And then I trusted you for the rest. And I just pray that tonight your people got blessed, that something was said that will change their life, that something was said that encouraged them, that something was said that they can use to continue this journey this 2019, Father. Father, be with our brothers and sisters out there. Father, protect them and keep them. Save them from every evil thing, any obstacles that sometimes Satan wants to put in the way, Father. And bring us back again, if it's another service, to come and to partake, Father, of life. Life, your word is life, Father. And let us come and be ready to fellowship with you, Father. You want our fellowship more than we desire our to fellowship with you. Father, we thank you because I'm glad that this is your plan. Father, I'm glad that all was dictated and made by you. You are so perfect. And the way you made it, and that is the way it's going to be. I'm just so glad that I am part of this plan. I am so thrilled, Father, that you love me. And nothing will separate me from your love tonight. I don't care famine, pestilences, wars, it doesn't matter, volcanoes, storms, nothing, God, will separate me from your love. The word you started, you will finish. In Jesus' name. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen. Did I knock something? I don't know. Hey, I didn't see you this morning. Who excuse you to miss service? Oh, okay. My father, you know. Father said you can stay home. I cannot argue with that. That's a good one. I'm going to have to use that one now. But it's nice to see you. See, if you're not here, we miss you. Because I'm going to look down, and when I don't see you, I'm going to miss you. If I, and you, who gave you permission to miss too? No. I miss you this morning. I know there's people that are sick and people that are resting, you know, holidays, sometimes they're hard on people. So continue praying for one another. Amen. This is my prayer. Amen. Let me take this water.